don't know if you've heard that before, but God is no respecter of persons, and there's no big people and little people, and I would classify as the little people if there were such thing. But God loves us all the same. He sent his son to die for us, and it's a privilege to serve him. None of us deserve it, but he showed us mercy. And thank you all. Y'all have been so kind. I enjoy traveling, and I enjoy going to churches, but I really enjoy a friendly church. And it's neat to hear the testimonies and to see that God has done a work in all of your lives and brought you to this place. It's no accident that you're here. And there's a reason it's called the family of God. And God puts you together. He knows who needs to be here. And if you study the scriptures in Ephesians, it talks about the members that God places in the body. And it's you got the hand and the arm and the head. You got all these different, well, Christ is the head, but you have all these different parts, if you will, or members. And everyone is important. And you can't function without the whole. And so every one of you play a role. And what a joy it is to meet all of you. And I appreciate your kindness to me. And I know you would have been kind to my family if they could have been here. I told our sister here when she was talking about crying about her son going off. My oldest is a sophomore now, and she commutes about 35 minutes. So she still lives at home. I don't see her as much because she's busy. She works and goes to college. And I told her, I said, I cried when she started commuting in college. And so I'd been a mess if she'd have left and went somewhere else. But and our next one is graduating in May. And then our next son is 15. He'll get his license in a few months, and he's excited about that. He's out working and handing out little business cards, trying to find lawn jobs and save up for a car and all that fun stuff. And then our baby is 6. Then we have a 10-year-old, and he's one that would have been talking to all of you. He's never met a stranger. He's the opposite of me. I was the shy kid growing up. I was the one that hid behind mom and had to be told, look them in the eyes and shake their hand, you know. And our 10-year-old, our oldest is dating, and about 2 weeks after she started dating this, he's a fine Christian guy, and I like him. But my 10-year-old boy, he loves this kid, and so as soon as my daughter starts dating, he's at church telling everybody, I'm going to be an uncle soon. I'm going to be an uncle soon. And I was like, son, stop. That doesn't sound good. You don't understand what you're saying. But he's overjoyed. He thinks he's going to be an uncle soon. So there's, I guess, good parts to your kids growing up. Go to Psalm chapter 67 with me tonight. And I want to publicly thank Pastor Lynn as well for inviting me. And I'm glad y'all are letting them get off. Sometimes pastors' wives especially and pastors, they need to get a break and go and get refreshed. And I know you'll pray for them as they're gone. But I appreciate the privilege to be here. Psalm 67. Sometimes there are those verses of Scripture that we have, maybe you've heard it, and it sounds really nice, and I've seen people in their homes, they'll print out a verse and put a picture frame on the wall, and maybe because of the verse's common use, it can be a verse that's easy to quote or to hear and to pay little attention to its meaning just because you get used to it. And I don't know if this verse is that familiar to you, but tonight I want to look at Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 just to begin. The Bible says, God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. How many of you have heard that before, have read that verse before? You know this psalm? It's a beautiful passage, and sometimes we can listen to pretty words like that of a prayer of God's for God's mercy and blessing and His face to shine upon us, and not really stop to think about its meaning. And when we pray, we often ask for God's blessing. I do. Maybe, Lord, would you bless my family? Or would you bless my church? It sounds like a verse that we've all prayed many times over. Lord, bless my kids. Sometimes we eat. Lord, bless this food to my body as we eat our donut and our pizza. And then we think, Lord, is it possible to bless this to me? Lord, bless me with a good job, with the finances I need. Lord, bless me with good health. Lord, bless my sick friend. These are things we pray, and they're fine things to ask God. But if we aren't careful, we can get into a habit of praying these words without thinking of what we really are desiring. When you do pray and ask God to bless you, what's the reason that you ask? What's the motive behind it? Why do you want God's blessing in your life? For what purpose do you ask it? My family and I lived in Brazil for a number of years, and when we lived there, I saw and heard many false teachers that had inundated the churches charismatic churches. They came into Baptist churches. They were in the they were everywhere. They would start all different kinds of little groups, if you will. And I called them the prosperity gospel preachers. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but basically, the prosperity gospel, my definition would be, it's the belief that God wants to bless you by making you wealthy and healthy, and that's like God's plan for you on this earth. God has such greater plans than health and wealth. That's nothing compared to what God can do. But they would teach that the material and that the physical blessing upon the Christian was like the ultimate goal for the believer. They would make their appeal in various different ways for money. And maybe you plant your seed gift, they would say, and God's going to grow it like a tree. And because you planted this gift, God's going to grow it and you're going to become rich. And oftentimes, we lived in a very poor area of Brazil. The false teachers would get rich, literally. And the people would get poorer and poorer. And they didn't teach them the gospel. They didn't know how to be saved. And they were not only poor spiritually, but they're also poor materially, even worse so. I heard of widows that gave their house titles to these people. And one day I had a lady knock at my, we don't knock on doors in Brazil. Everything had gates and walls around it, even in the poor areas. And so you go up to a door and you clap. When I first came back to the States, it was hard to get used to knocking again. So it's like you can actually knock on the doors. It's cool. But anyhow, so this lady clapped at my gate and she asked me for my ring. Elderly lady. And I said, man, what do you want my ring for? They were collecting gold from all over the country, trying to build a replica of Solomon's temple in one of the big cities. And they got it done. And the owner or whatever you call him, the top preacher, I guess, he had a helicopter pad on top of that temple. I mean, This was the fruit of their prosperity gospel. There was no spiritual fruit. It was appealing to the greedy nature of man, and using that. Now we should give, and the Bible does teach, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. God provides our needs when we give. But if we're not careful, though, we can live as if we believed the prosperity gospel. One day I was frustrated with this, and I'm trying to teach people in our church there, and it was so infiltrated into their thinking, this false idea, that as I was frustrated, the Lord began to work in my heart and said, Jeremy, do not at times you live in your own life guilty of living maybe the prosperity gospel in a certain sense? How do we do that? Lord, would you bless me? Lord, would you heal me? My wife has a chronic illness, and she about died in Brazil more than once, and we've prayed for many years for the Lord to heal her. Lord, I need, my car's breaking down. I need a car. We ask for all these blessings from the Lord, and not wrong things to ask for necessarily, but sometimes we ask for God's blessing simply so that we can consume it upon our own desires, just because we want His blessing, just to enjoy them. And I want to encourage you tonight, God may bless you with wealth. He does bless some people with that. He may bless you with health. And if He does so, you praise Him for it. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I can assure you tonight that whatever it is that God blesses you with, He has a purpose behind that blessing. And it's that purpose that I want to dive into in the Scriptures tonight. God's blessings are never to be separated from the purpose for which He gave you those blessings. You have the blessing of a healthy body right now. There's a purpose for that. The blessing of wealth or the blessing of little wealth. There's a purpose behind the blessings God gives you. We are blessed for a reason, and we need to learn to see beyond ourselves and to turn the blessings that God gives us into bridges that lead others to Christ. And so the first verse, we only have 2 points here tonight. The first one is a prayer for God's blessing in verse 1, and then verse 2 we'll see the purpose for God's blessing. So verse 1, it says, God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Those words, God be merciful unto us. Why would someone cry out and ask for God's mercy? This is not a selfish prayer. This is a humble cry to God. Someone that cries out in prayer and says, Lord, would you have mercy upon me, is someone that recognizes and admits that they are an undeserving sinner that needs God's mercy. And so they throw themselves upon the mercy of God. How often have I skipped this part, jumped right to, Lord, bless me, and skipped the, Lord, would you be merciful unto me? Lord, would you bless my church and bless us and bless my family? But how about stopping and saying, Lord, would you have mercy upon me? It's of the Lord's mercies, the Bible says, that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican that Jesus taught? I'm going to read it to you very quickly. Luke chapter 18, it says, And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. And I find that fascinating. These Pharisees trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, and it says, and he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. This is his prayer. And then he continues on and he says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What a prayer. The Bible says he's just praying with himself. He thinks he's talking to God, but he's really just trumpeting out his own false righteousness that he thinks he has. But then it continues on. He says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He didn't even dare lift his face up towards the heavens. But instead he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you that this man, which one, the publican, the one that cried out for mercy, this man went down to his house justified. He was made righteous in the eyes of God rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God justifies and God gives mercy to sinners. People that think they're good don't ask for mercy. Where I come from in North Carolina, there's a lot of hillbillies and rednecks and whatnot, and there's a term called a good old boy. Have you ever heard that before? There's no such thing as a good old boy. Do you realize that? I understand the terminology because I grew up in the South, but there's only sinners. And we all need God's mercy. God, be merciful to us. This should be our prayer. Asking for mercy is where the Christian life begins. And I ask all of you, has there been a time in your life? Everyone here tonight, think in your own heart. Has there been a time in your life when you recognized, I'm a sinner? I don't just do bad things, but I'm a sinner. I'm separated from God. And you threw yourself upon God's mercy and you asked Him for it? Have you experienced the peace and the joy that comes when God answers your prayer and He gives you His mercy and He saves you and He rests you? He gives you peace in your heart and that joy that is just unexplainable? He'll give that to you tonight if you don't have it. He wants to have mercy upon you. What a gracious and a merciful God we serve, that He answers the cries of wretched sinners like me. And tonight I want to encourage you, if you are a believer and you know that you've been saved and you have cried out for God's mercy, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't forget from where you came. Don't forget that it was God's mercy that rescued you. He saved you by His mercy. It wasn't because you're good that He loved you. He loved us while we were yet His enemies. So the psalmist in this prayer, he cries out, God, be merciful to us. And he continues on and then he says, and bless us. One of the most used words I hear in prayer is, Lord, bless us. But again, I ask, why would we need God's blessing or God's favor upon us? Is it not because in ourselves we recognize that we're helpless? We need God's divine favor. We need God's blessing in every aspect of our lives. The American way and the American dream says, well, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and make a way for yourself. And I understand the sentiment behind that. We should pick ourselves up by our boot. We should work. That's the general idea, is to work and not expect others to do for you. But do you realize that without God's blessing, I have no strength to pick myself up by my bootstraps? Yes, I should work hard, and yes, I should honor God with my work ethic to provide for my family. And so I say, Lord, would you bless my body with strength so that I can provide for my family? Lord, would you give me health so that I can serve you? Without God's blessing on my body, I wouldn't even have the health and strength to provide. Without God's blessing and favor on my marriage, I would fail and ruin it and mess everything up. And so I say, Lord, would you bless my marriage and make it strong and healthy so we can glorify you together? And without God's blessing on my children, they'll stray far from him. And so I say, Lord, would you bless my children? Would you help me to teach them how to follow you and not just teach them in word, but help me to teach them with my life and with my actions day by day? And I beg God for his mercy and to bless my kids because I know they're born with a sin nature they got from their dad. And so I say, Lord, have mercy and bless my kids. And without God's blessing on my church, it would splinter and it would divide and it would split up into 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different churches and everyone would go their own way. And so I say, Lord, would you bless my church and make it strong and unified so we can serve you together? Without God's blessing on my finances, I'd hunger and do without. And so I say, Lord, would you bless me this day with my daily bread? And he answers and he blesses. And without his blessing on my mind, I wouldn't even have the ability to read this book and to understand it. He illuminates it and he helps me to understand. And so I say, Lord, would you bless my mind and help me to know the truth and to understand it and to know you? I need God's blessing in every single aspect of my life. And you do too. In my own strength, I'm weak. Without him, I have nothing. I am nothing. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. There is nothing good in your life that you have that didn't come from God. Anything good in my life is not because of me, but it's because of the blessing of God, because he is gracious and merciful. And so the psalmist, recognizing this, he cries out and he says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. And then he continues and he says, and cause his face to shine upon us. To have the face of God shine upon me. For his presence to be so near that I can walk and talk with him. Just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, when he saves you and he restores that fellowship, you can walk, you can talk with your Creator. How can you know that God's face is shining upon you? The Bible says, and he, that's Jesus, is the propitiation, or that's the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God's wrath and God's condemnation was upon me, Jeremy, because of my sin. I was destined for eternity in hell. The Bible says I was condemned. When I was born, I was already condemned, separated from God and under the wrath of God. And so how can God look at Jeremy, the sinner, and have his wrath satisfied? That's what Jesus did upon the cross. Do you realize that's the reason he died? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, or in our place, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the picture is, I'm Jeremy, the sinner, the filthy, the wicked one, the one that's under the wrath and the condemnation of God. And the Bible says that there's nothing that defiles can get into heaven. And so I'm defiled. I can't get there. Even if I say I'm sorry, it doesn't fix my sins. If God let sinners into heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven. You have to be righteous and perfect to get into heaven without sin. And so I say, well, how can anyone get in there? Because none of us are righteous. There's none good. No, not one. But Jesus was righteous. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was holy. And Jesus said, I'll take your place. God made him, Jesus, to be sin in my place. So he took my old filthy sins. And when he was nailed to that cross, and when he was beaten and he was tortured, and as he was dying, the worst part of the cross was not the physical pain, as horrible and gruesome as it was, but it was the fact that my sins were placed upon my Savior. And he suffered as if he had committed every crime and every sin that I had committed and you had committed, because he loved me. And as he died there, he took my old filthy rags of sin. And when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he paid all there is to pay for my sins, you know what he gave me? He gave me the robe of his righteousness. I am robed in white, clean, pure righteousness. And the God the Father can look at Jeremy and say, I'm satisfied. His face does shine upon me, not because I've lived a good life. I can't. But because Jesus was good And he took my place upon the cross. And so I stand holy and righteous before the God of heaven because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus. I ask all of you tonight, does God's face shine upon you? If not, tonight you can go out of those doors having peace in your heart that God had sent his Son and he took your place. And if you'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. He'll give you his righteousness. It's free. You can't earn it. You can't win it. You can't do anything to obtain it except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight you could go out of here knowing his face is shining upon you. When God's face shines on me, I have nothing to fear. When it shines upon me, I can feel the warmth of his presence in my life. And when it shines upon me, his light, the light of his word, it penetrates my soul and it cleanses me from sin. And when it cleanses me from sin, it brings joy, and that joy can reflect from my life to others, and then they can desire to want what I have because it comes from God. It's his light. When God's face shine upon me, it doesn't matter if I stand alone speaking the truth to a world who loves the lie, that God's word is oppressive, and that God's word is not a good thing. You can stand and you can speak with boldness when you know God's face shines upon you. I want God's face to shine upon me. And I want to know his presence in every moment of my life, every day. God be merciful to us. God bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. What a prayer. Just as the psalmist, I would encourage each of you, adopt this prayer into your life and ask God these things for your own life. But before we go on to verse number 2 and see the purpose of this prayer, I want you to notice a word with me in verse 1 that I didn't bring out. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Notice the psalmist's prayer didn't end with me, but it ended with the word us. This is a prayer for his beloved Israel. This is his desire was that not only did he need God's mercy in his own life, but his people needed it. Not only was he nothing without the blessing of God, but he recognized his people were nothing without the blessing of God. Not only was he worthless without God's blessing, but his country and his people, they needed God's face to shine upon them. And he desired God's blessing not only for himself, but for his people. Look at our nation today. It's a mess. Look at the wickedness around you. Is it not tempting after God saves you to shelter yourself away from it and hide away from it and to begin to look down your nose at all those that are still living in sin and forget that it was God's mercy that pulled you and snatched you out of it and rescued you yourself? Don't forget where God brought you from. Ask God to work in your life a desire to want blessing and to want mercy for those that you meet. The wickedest of the wicked that seem impossible to be saved. Do you desire God to bless them? He can. Do you desire God to have mercy upon them? He will if they'll cry out to him in faith. God wants to bless our nation, but he'll only do it as they repent and turn to Christ. God be merciful unto us. Pray this every day. Ask God for his mercy for your people, for your family, for your co-workers. We've seen the prayer for God's blessing. And number 2, I want to see the purpose for God's blessing. Verse number 2. Let's go ahead and read here. He says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. The psalmist did not pray verse 1 without a purpose. As a child, it might have been in Awana, I don't remember, but I memorized verse 1. Until I studied this passage, verse 2 never dawned on me. And the whole context of what's going on here, the psalmist, he didn't just want God's blessing just to have it. There was a purpose behind it. What was that purpose? He wanted God's way to be known upon the whole earth, God's saving health among all the nations of the world. There is absolutely nothing selfish about this prayer. The purpose was that it might share his blessing with the world. It's evident that the psalmist knew God, And say, well, why? Well, what's God's heart? He desires that the nations know Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As a nation that forgot God, Israel didn't fulfill their duty. God didn't just close His eyes and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I pick Israel. He chose Israel for a purpose. They're His people, and He wanted them to be a light to the Gentiles. His desire that the Messiah would come through the nation of Israel, and His desire was that all the peoples of the earth, all the nations of the earth would know the Savior, and that Israel would be the light that would shine Him forth around the world. And they failed in that purpose, and God now is using the church to do the same thing that He desired Israel to do. He wants us to be a light to the nations. He wants you to be a light to the nations. He didn't just bless us just because. It's for a purpose. What's His purpose? God so loved the world. He wants us to give the light to the world. How horribly selfish it would be of us to stop with verse 1 and ask God's blessing for ourselves, our family, our church, and even our nation. Yet this is often our focus in praying. Lord, would You bless us? Lord, would You bless me, my family, my church, my kids? But with no real purpose other than to consume God's blessing upon our own lusts. James chapter 2, he speaks pretty harsh words here, and he says, ye ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, or with wrong motives, he's saying, you ask amiss, why? That ye might consume it upon your own lusts. How often am I guilty of this? Are you selfish in your prayers? I want you to make it personal. It's not a holler out and tell me thing. Think in your own heart. The last time you prayed and asked the Lord for His blessing, or maybe you asked God for a better job. Why did you ask Him for more provision? Why did you seek His blessing upon your physical health? Was it just because you wanted to feel good? I like to feel well. I don't like to be sick. But God doesn't give us health just so that we can enjoy health, but He gives it to us for a purpose so that we can share that blessing of salvation with the world. Why do you ask God to bless your kids? I ask you tonight, have you given them to God? What about your grandkids? So many parents, they've got designs upon their kids and they want to keep them for themselves. They want them to grow up. They want them to stay around. And hey, I'm guilty as the rest. It's easy to do. But I want to give my kids to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do anything with them. They're Yours. I can't hoard them to myself. And would You give your kids to God and see what God could do? Lord, would You bless my kids so that they can go around the world and make Your salvation known? Lord, would You do things great through them? Would You bring people to Christ through them? God will do that. He says here, verse 2, that Thy way may be known upon earth. How many ways are there from destruction to everlasting life? There's one, right? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. There's only one way. Like sheep, the Bible says, they've gone astray. They've turned everyone to his own way. But we must use the blessings that God has given us to share with the people of the world God's way. Use God's mercy that He's extended to you and tell someone else. You say, well, I don't make that much. I don't have that great of a job. Do you use the job that He's blessed you with already to tell people about Jesus? Well, I don't have the courage to. Have you stopped and thought that maybe somebody had the courage to tell you one day about Jesus? Are you using the blessings that God has given you, whether they're even if you think they're small, to make His way known upon earth? Maybe He knows He can't trust you with more blessing because you won't use what He's already given you for His glory. We must turn every blessing into a bridge that leads others to Christ. Maybe when it comes time and when y'all have your missions program, Faith Promise, to give, and you say, well, I'm not even going to ask God what He wants me to give because I already see my budget. I don't have any more to give. I understand. But I want to challenge you to ask God to change your heart in this matter. If you ask God in prayer to bless you, But the whole purpose of asking for His blessing is so that you might extend His blessing to the world. I think He'll answer. Maybe sometimes we ask and we say, Lord, I don't have anything else to give, and I can't give anymore. And really, we don't have the desire to give more, and the things we do have, we've not given to Christ. And so why would He bless us with more? I think that if we asked for more blessing, having a heart motivation that verse 2 speaks of, that we would see in our lives God pour out, open up the windows of heaven and bless us in ways we can't even imagine, because He knows He can trust us to use that blessing for His purpose. I don't think God trusts a lot of believers with a lot of wealth. Maybe because He knows He can't trust us, because we begin to hoard it to ourselves, and it's like a funnel God pours in, and we get nervous that it's going to run out, and so we stick our finger up and plug the bottom. Well, eventually it fills up and God can't pour anything else in, can He? God wants to funnel through us. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your job. I'm talking about your witnessing to your coworkers and your neighbors and your family. I'm talking about saying, Lord, if You want me to be a missionary and go and tell the lost about Jesus, I'll go where You want me to. I'll do what You want me to do, Lord. I'm Yours. Would You bless me with whatever I need to be blessed with so that I can use it to tell people about Jesus? And I believe He'll answer your prayer. That's a prayer according to His will. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That His way may be known upon earth, and He says it again in another way, that His saving health may be known among all nations. I love the word picture. He uses the word health. The world is sick and lost in sin, isn't it? And Jesus is the great physician. And He came to heal the sin-sick soul. There were people that called themselves faith healers in Brazil, and they wouldn't preach the gospel. I didn't bother arguing with them whether or not they were really healing people. But I would say this, if you could heal everyone and then they die and go to hell, what good did you do? Amen. Who wants to go into hellfire having a body that's not sick and suffer for eternity? How much better to go out and tell people about the great physician that can heal their heart and their soul and give them everlasting life? And I ask, maybe there's someone in here, maybe God's been working in your heart about surrendering to serve the Lord in ministry. I don't know all of your stories. But I would encourage you tonight to open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, if You want to expand the way I've ministered or send me somewhere to do something in a greater way, Lord, I'm Yours. Give your heart to Him. He'll bless you in ways that you can't imagine. He'll use you. You say, well, I'm too old. I know a couple, they're with our mission agency. Their names are Jack and Melinda Peeler. They're from South Carolina. And this guy, when they were in their, I think, late 50s, mid to late 50s, he was in a missions conference. Somebody's preaching, and the Lord got a hold of his heart. Jack didn't even have a high school education. But the guy was a brain. He could fix anything. He could make anything mechanically. And the Lord got a hold of his heart, and he said, I've not been trained to preach. Lord, I don't know what I can do. And he ended up going into helps ministries. And him and his wife, they upped and left their job, and they took off to the Micronesian Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia Island called Ponape. And they went there, and they were just helping missionaries. Missionary had a radio station. He'd fix it and keep it running and keep their vehicles running, anything he'd do to help the missionaries on the islands. And one day while he was there in a prayer meeting, there's another atoll, which is an island. It was about a day's journey on a cargo ship out from this island. It's 1 mile around, little tiny island, fewer than 300 people on it. And there was a man from that island in a prayer meeting and said, pray that God send someone to my people to tell them the gospel. And Jack began to pray, and God again began to work on his heart. And he said, Lord, I'm not trained to do this. And God says, you know the gospel. You know what I've done for you. And he said, okay, I'll go. Him and his wife, bless their hearts, they got on, that you couldn't, the way this island is, there's no, they couldn't take a helicopter, they couldn't take an airplane. Get cargo ship is the only way there. And they get on, take about a day's journey, put their belongings on a pallet. And they get out close to the island, and because of the reef, they couldn't get too close on the cargo ships. They climbed down a rope ladder on the side of the ship, put their belongings in this little boat. Some people rowed them to shore. They lived in a tent for 2 months. after he cleared some space with a machete, and then little by little, he built himself a little shack and used solar power and rigged up something to make it. I mean, it looks beautiful, but it's would be in our terms, it'd be a little shack. Today, there's a little pole barn type building there, and there's about 40 to 50 believers on that island that love the Lord, and as a church started, because somebody said, Lord, you've blessed me. I don't have a high school education. I'm not trained to preach, but you've blessed my hands and my brain to be able to make things and fix things and live in a hard area that most people might not be able to do. And they just said, Lord, I'm yours. And you know what God did? He blessed them, and he used the blessing that he blessed them with so they could extend it to the world. And now there's people that one day I'm going to get to meet in heaven when we all stand around the throne or kneel around the throne and cry out, holy, holy, holy to the Lord and sing his praise. We'll get to meet with those kind of people. God can use you. He may not send you to the Micronesian Islands, but he may. You could be young. You could be old. God will use you. If you'll say, Lord, every blessing you've given me, the mercy you've extended to me, I want to use it for you. He'll enable you to. Will you open your hands and let God pour his blessings through you? Or will you keep your hands closed and hoard his blessings to yourself? God doesn't bestow his blessings on people so that they can sit in a chair in a church building and just bask in his blessing, though that is wonderful to be able to do so. It's a joy to come together as a family of God and do that. But we come in here to get strengthened so that we can go out and share his blessing with the world, not just so we can bask in it. God doesn't shine his face upon you so that you can enjoy the warmth of his presence only, but so that you can share it with others. We're blessed for a reason, and we have to learn to see beyond ourselves and turn our blessings into bridges that lead others to Christ. And I ask you tonight, God works in all of your hearts individually. And maybe God's speaking to you, and you need to answer. How does God want you to fulfill his blessing that he's given to you, his purpose in blessing you? What is that for your life? He'll show you if you'll give your life to him. God's character is revealed in this psalm. He's not willing that any should perish, and he wants to bless us so that we can bless the world. I challenge you tonight as we finish up here to pray for God's blessing. Make it a daily part of your life. First of all, make sure you've experienced his mercy and his blessing. And if you haven't, you can come and talk to someone here tonight, Brother George, myself, and I'm sure there's others, and we can tell you how you can go out of here knowing that you have eternal life. But then bow your heart and ask God to have mercy on your nation. And as you take this challenge and begin to pray, God will work in your heart, I guarantee you. One day while you're praying that God will have mercy on your nation, perhaps God will answer, well, your neighbor needs the gospel. That's part of the nation. Why don't you go and tell them? And you'll find that God will use you to do so. Maybe one day you're on your knees praying for God to bless the missionaries you support and asking God to have mercy on them. And God may say, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want you to join them. I want you to be one of the missionaries and go and serve me there. Maybe you'll be praying one day, Lord, would you bless my kids? And God may answer, they're not yours. Give them to me. Train them to serve me, and I'll bless the nations through your kids. Oh, what a joy that would be. You may be praying, Lord, my car's having trouble. It keeps breaking down. And the Lord may say, why don't you use that old raggedy car to bring people to Jesus? And then I'll bless you with another so you keep on doing it. Maybe you'll be praying one day, Lord, would you bless my aching back? It's killing me today. You ever had that happen? And God may reply, well, why don't you use the back I've given you? In the midst of the pain, to get off the couch and share the blessing of Calvary with your neighbor, and I'll give you peace to handle the pain for another day. And he'll do that. Maybe you'll be praying, Lord, I'm struggling financially. I need you to bless me. And God may answer, purpose to use the blessings that I do give you to reach the lost, and I'll bless you more than you could ever imagine. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Have you been asking God to bless you and refuse to use that blessing to reach the lost. Maybe you're struggling with health, but you refuse to use the health He's given you to reach the lost. Ask God for blessing, but the challenge of all tonight is do it with the right purpose in your heart, the right motive. Lord, bless me so that I can make your way known upon earth, and God will answer your prayer and He'll use you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Has God put a finger on a specific area in your life concerning the way in which you're using His blessing? Maybe you'd be willing to raise your hand and say, Brother Jeremy, would you pray for me? I've not been using the blessing in the way that God wants me. And God spoke to my heart in a certain area tonight. Would you pray for me that I'd have courage to obey and give God that area of my life? I'll pray for you. Anyone like that? So I see those hands and I'll pray for you. Amen. You may put them down. Maybe there's someone in here tonight that would say, Jeremy, I'm not even.